Hello, and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities from my patrons. I'm James Holloway, and I'm taking a look at the myths and religions of the world, and seeing what inspiration we can find in them for fantasy role-playing games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the myths and legends of Hawaii. So far, we've talked about the four great gods of the Hawaiian cosmology, Kane, Ku, Lono, and Kanaloa, as well as the historical background and the sources of Hawaiian myth. Today we're going to look at another deity who, although not technically part of the four great gods, looms large in Hawaiian mythology and is probably one of the most recognizable figures from that pantheon. I'm talking, of course, about Pele, the volcano goddess. One of the interesting things about Pele is that she is one of those fire deities that is genuinely kind of fiery. This isn't completely uncommon, but it's maybe not as common as fictitious pantheons tend to suggest. Actual mythology accretes stories in a way that prevents the kind of the fire god's aggressive, the earth god is stoic, kind of typically what you get in fictitious pantheons, where a single creator has devised the thing from the ground up and wants to make thematic points. But Pele genuinely is kind of fiery, although there is more to her than that. Pele is a goddess associated with fire in general, with volcanoes in particular, and in particular with Kilauea, one of the five main volcanoes that make up the Big Island. Kilauea is an active volcano. Indeed, it's very active. Its most recent eruption began in September 2021. Kilauea is not the biggest of the five volcanoes. That would be Mauna Loa. So I'm not sure why it was believed to be the home of the volcano goddess. In fact, specifically, it's not even Kilauea in general, but it's a particular site on Kilauea, a fire pit called Halemaumau. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but that's my best shot. If you look at images of this place, you can absolutely see why people would believe that it was the home of not just Pele, but of her whole family. Pele is part of a large family of fire and volcano gods. There are several versions of her family tree cited in Beckwith, all coming from different sources, with different deities included or not included in the list. The core group seem to be Pele and her younger sister Hiiaka, as well as their brothers Moho and Kamakaua. But there are others. So, for example, there's Kamoho Ali'i, the god of steam, Kapoho Ikahiola, god of explosions, and Keoakepo, the rain of fire. So we can see that these are all kind of like sub-phenomena of volcanoes. You can see why these different behaviors of the volcano would be classified as like different gods. But there are multiple lists from multiple sort of collectors, and they all have slightly different collections of deities within the family of Pele. There are multiple versions of Pele's origin myth, but they all seem to agree that she came from a faraway land. Sometimes she was forced out of there by a natural disaster, a flood. Sometimes she was exiled. For whatever reason, she and her family came to where Hawaii is in a canoe. At some point, she makes the islands. She is sometimes credited as the deity who created the Hawaiian Islands, reflecting, of course, the fact that they are volcanic islands created by volcanic action. We've seen in other cases that the creation of the islands is attributed to the hero Maui, or at least the island of Maui. And there is a myth in which she, like, searches around the islands, digging with her digging stick in a variety of different places until she finally decides to settle in Kilauea. So I assume that this myth of the Pele's digging stick, you know, that's what creates volcanic calderas. And so she creates a bunch of different volcanoes before finally coming to rest. I mentioned before that Pele has a sister called Hiiaka. Hiiaka is Pele's younger sister, and Pele brought her to Hawaii in the form of an egg, or maybe an embryo. This is the origin of her full name, Hiiaka Ikapoleo Pele, which means Hiiaka in the bosom of Pele, or carried egg in the bosom of Pele. So the idea that she actually was not yet born when Pele brought her to Hawaii, and that's where she was born. So she kind of represents new life in new land. Some have said that this is a contrast between Pele and Hiiaka. So Pele destroys but also creates, like Pele makes the land with her lava flows, but it is Hi'iaka who either like brings them to life or kind of like personifies the process of them coming to life, right? She's the first thing born in the new land. But despite this close relationship, Pele and Hi'iaka have often been at odds. One of the most famous myths of Pele is about this rivalry. So in this story, there are multiple versions, both multiple versions of what Pele does in this story, multiple versions of what Hi'iaka does in this story, multiple versions of what Lohiau, who is the love interest, does in this story. But the gist of them is that Pele sort of goes into a trance, and while she's in a trance, she projects her spirit out. This is a theme that appears in a number of stories, this idea that gods or people can send out their spirits while they're sleeping or while they're like meditating. And the spirit isn't sort of some kind of invisible astral projection. It can actually take on a new form and even live as a separate person from the original person. And so while Pele is in this trance, Hi'iaka is like looking after her body. So the spirit roams around. In some versions, you know, it just goes to different places until finally it finds this guy, Lohiau. And in others, it is sort of lured by music created by some sort of minor deities who represent the musical instruments used in traditional hula. Anyway, she spies this chief in Kauai, Lohiau, and her spirit takes the form of a beautiful woman, and they, you know, they fall in love. But then Hi'iaka wakes her, and her spirit returns to her body. But before she goes, she tells him to wait, and, you know, she'll send someone to fetch him and bring him to her. So when she wakes up, she looks for a volunteer to undertake this quest, and the only person who has the, like, requisite qualifications, of course, is her sister, Hi'iaka. So Pele endows Hi'iaka with sorcerer's power, and Hi'iaka gets, like, a group of companions, some from the home of Pele and her family, and some that she accumulates along the way. Although she leaves behind some of her companions, in particular, a girl called Hopoe. And off she goes on her quest to find Lohiau and return him to Pele. But Pele puts two conditions on this. She says, first, that Hi'iaka must not fall in love with Lohiau herself. Beckwith translates this as she must not embrace him. And second, that she cannot take more than 40 days. But along the way, Hi'iaka has many adventures. She gets in all kinds of trouble with different, like, sorcerers and spirits and whatever. And when she arrives, Lohiau has died. He has been so overcome with longing for Pele that he has died. And she uses her magic to revive him, but it takes more than the 40-day deadline that Pele had set. So Pele becomes jealous. She thinks that the reason that Hi'iaka has not come back with Lohiau is that she's fallen in love with him herself, and she wants to keep him for herself. And so there's a big sort of war between these goddesses, during which Pele kills Lohiau. So she sends a wave of lava that Hi'iaka is able to resist, but Lohiau, not being a god, is killed. And in some of the stories, Hi'iaka has to revive him a second time. This is kind of Pele's go-to strategy. As we'll see in a moment, Pele is definitely one of those people who, having learned one really good ability, just like tries to apply that to every situation. Someone's talking sass, lava wave. You think one of your lovers looked at another girl? Lava wave. Shoes too snug? Lava wave. Neighbor playing the music too loud? Lava wave. So Pele, as we can see, is the jealous type. There are multiple stories in which someone challenges Pele, so like brags at her. That's a common thing. So tries to tell her that his home is more beautiful than hers, or suggests that she is more beautiful than Pele, that kind of thing, and gets lava waved. And there are other stories in which Pele kills a lover for like an imagined infidelity. So there's one case where, you know, her lover stops to play a game of jackstones, which I take to be kind of like jacks, but with rocks. I don't really know how it works, but there's a reference to this game that's played with like a handful of pebbles. So he like stops by the side of the road to play a game with a woman that's like he's passing by, and Pele gets furious and kills them both with a lava flow. Beckwith says that Pele's romantic rivals are sort of a motif for explaining any lava rock that's kind of shaped like a person. A bit like in Scandinavia, like dwarfs and trolls that have been turned to stone by the sunlight are kind of just like, oh yeah, if there's like a big rock that kind of, you know, if you look at it right, if you look at it imaginatively, sort of looks like a person, you'd be like, oh, well, that's a troll that turned to stone. Whenever that happens with a lava formation, they say, well, this is, one of Pele's former lovers or rivals. One version of the feud between Pele and Hiiaka explains how Hiiaka was able to turn away her sister's wrath, which is by dancing, so that she danced to soothe Pele, and this is the origin of Hiiaka's connection to Hula. She's sort of a patron deity. Not the only one, actually. Probably, for all the people who say this about Pele, there are actually multiple deities who are associated with Hula, and I don't know that Hiiaka is the most important one, but anyway, she is one of them. This is sometimes explained as like the origin of Hula, although in fact, you will recall that in this myth, we already heard about someone playing music for a hula. I should do more digging about hula as an art form. It's an art form. It also has kind of ceremonial and ritual components. So I don't want to say like, oh, it's exclusively a religious practice or it's exclusively an art form. I think it's a big mistake to conceive of most societies as having that kind of like, oh, there's a separate box over here that's religious and everything else is secular. I think that the religion and mythology pervades most aspects of everyone's lives throughout most of history. It's part of the background against which people go about their daily lives. So I don't want to suggest like, oh, this is a strictly ritual thing, but like everything, like warfare, like politics, like agriculture, it has ritual components. Anyway, whatever. My point is that Hiiaka was also drawn to someone by their dancing. So I mentioned Hiiaka's companion Hopoe, and that's how they got together, is that Hiiaka was impressed by the girl's dancing. Hopoe is described as Hiiaka's friend or like companion. She calls her a pet at one point, I beck with. The idea that like, she's a mortal who is under the goddess's protection. I've seen more modern sources that call her Hiiaka's lover. And I want to stress again that this is an ongoing mythological and religious tradition. And I'm not out here trying to say, well, it's not in Beckwith and therefore it doesn't count, because you would expect it to change. Even if Beckwith is not like euphemizing a concept for popular consumption. So anyway, like I said, many versions of the story end with Hiiaka dancing to appease Pele's wrath. There are other versions of the story in which there's a character called Kaleopaoa, who is the companion of Lohiau. And when Lohiau dies, Kaleopaoa goes sort of in search of Pele, just kind of like find out what happened with Lohiau. But the cool thing about it is, so he eventually reaches Kilauea. And when he's there, he sees a group of maidens, a group of young women, right? This group of beautiful young women. And with them is this old lady. And so he goes up and he greets them all. And I guess he like shakes their hand or, takes their hand. And he realizes that the old woman is Pele because her hands are so hot. So when he takes her hand, he feels this tremendous heat coming from her. And he knows that this old woman must be the volcano goddess. And I think that's a really neat way of identifying a god in disguise. Because Pele seems to enjoy taking the form of an old woman. She frequently appears in that form. And I think there's that idea that she sort of wants people to be able to recognize her even when she's in disguise. Like that she's so important, she stands out so much that they can tell. Or maybe she's just happy that this guy is clever. So Pele is a fickle, vengeful character, generous at times, but also wrathful and easily offended. Her patronage can be very rewarding, as we saw when she granted Hiiaka her magic powers, although granted her magic powers in order to complete a task for Pele, so it's not a completely selfless thing to do. And she can perform great deeds, like creating the Hawaiian Islands in some versions of the story, but she can also cause unpredictable destruction. Pele is a volcano goddess from a culture who were very familiar with volcanoes and understood that they have kind of, benefits and drawbacks. Volcanic eruptions were a fact of life in Hawaii. Indeed, are a fact of life in Hawaii today. As I said, Kilauea erupted last year. By contrast, Hiiaka is more of a protagonist character. She's not like some kind of pacifist. She kills a lot of people by destroying their souls in her quest to reach Lohiau, but she's very much more of an adventurer. And many have said that she represents a more kind of like nurturing pro-social aspect of Pele, or at least that the two characters exist in a kind of duality. Like some of the other gods we've looked at, like Ku, for instance, there are lots of different aspects of Hiiaka, lots of different goddesses called Hi'iaka. Often goddesses who are sort of youthful in their aspect, because of course Hi'iaka, which means, you know, carried egg or even like embryo, sort of signifies like this is a baby. So we may have a sort of destruction versus creation, you know, duality, which might indicate that they are two aspects of the same goddess, or at least two goddesses who are understood as fulfilling complementary roles with each other. Oh, I should mention that some versions of the Pele myth have a connection to fan favorite Ku Waha'ilo, Ku of the maggot-dropping mouth. Beckwith translates this as Ku breeding maggots in the back, which is not better. I think I've seen ones in which he's her father, although that is not normally her descent, I don't think. This would make sense, I suppose, because we've seen that Pele is regarded as proficient at sorcery, and Ku Waha'ilo is the Ku of sorcerers. I mentioned before that Pele likes turning into an old woman. This is a pretty common motif in her stories, this idea that she will walk the earth in mortal guise. And I don't, with the other gods who do this, because most Hawaiian deities have spent some time on earth living as a human, including like Kanaloa. But it seems to me that only Pele is really in disguise. I could be wrong about that, but I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think that, like, when people talk about, you know, Kane and Kanaloa living somewhere, or Lano living somewhere, it's just like, oh yeah, it was living as a chief under the name Lano. But Pele disguises her appearance in a classic deity incognito story motif. So one of the stories about Pele in her like old woman form could be a story about a god from anywhere in the world. So there's these two girls and they are sitting, having a drink and eating some breadfruit. And Pele, in the guise of an old woman, approaches them and asks, you know, if these nice young ladies can spare some breadfruit. And one of them gives her some and one of them tells her to go away. And then later on, the one who told her to go away has her house destroyed by a lava flow. In fact, I think that both their houses are destroyed by a lava flow, but the other one, like Pele, comes to her in a dream and tells her to get out the way. So she's able to like save her family. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's how I recall the story. So, and that's a classic, but it's definitely like if you're going to have an undercover deity, I think it's interesting that typically the undercover deity that you might run into in D&D is either a sort of wise sage character or kind of like a trickster. So you're like your Odin, your Enki, maybe your Guan Yin. Lots of like hermits and, you know, nuns that people meet by the side of the road turn out to be Guan Yin. But I don't think that our wrathful, horny volcano goddess has actually been on that list so far. In addition to all these other areas, you know, from obviously volcanoes and fire to sorcery to music and art, Pele also has funerary associations because the fires of these like fire pits and volcanic whatever it is, I'm not a volcanologist, are used for cremation, but only for certain people. And these are people who are believed to be mortal descendants of the Pele family of deities. And that can either mean actual descendants or they can be adopted. And in fact, one of the forms of adoption is that Pele appears to you in a dream and gives you a new name that brings you into her family. That's a really cool motif. And I think that that's actually one that could turn up in a game. You know, if you want someone to have a destiny, the idea that like there is some elite class that is descended from the gods and that God appears to you in a dream and adopts you into that class, that's pretty great. And these people, once they are cremated, that they go and they spend their afterlife with Pele and her family, and they sort of serve as enforcers of her kapu, and those are the fiery spirits of her devotees. I think that's pretty cool too. Pele, I mentioned before, is one of the best known deities from Hawaii. I think this is probably because she has a lot of connections to things that people who are not from Hawaii think about when they think about Hawaii, if that makes sense. So if, like me, you are not from and have never been to Hawaii, you think about it, you don't think about like the skyline of Honolulu or whatever. You tend to think about its sort of quote-unquote unique. Obviously, they're not unique, but it's like distinctive features. So you think about like hula, or you think about volcanoes, right? Those are very like top-of-mind images when people who aren't local think about Hawaii. And Pele is connected to both of them. Pele is also like, there's lots of like good dramatic potential in her stories. So if you're thinking about Kane and Kanaloa, like they're doing things that are very important from like a foundational mythological perspective, going around like establishing fish ponds, naming springs and things like that. They're very integrated into the Hawaiian landscape, but their stories don't trade as well in isolation. But two sisters who fell out over one's jealousy in a way that wound up killing the man that she was jealous about, that's a very transportable story. Two sisters who fought over a man and caused his tragic death is a very, I want to say it's easy to summarize, but I'm not sure that that is a summary. It's easy to turn into a story, which may not necessarily be the same story, but it's easy to turn into a story that appeals to like an international audience. So I think that we can envision a couple of different ways in which you could incorporate Pele into your game. I like the idea that the relationship between Pele and her clerics could be quite fraught, that she will grant you this power as she granted power to Hiiaka, but in return, she expects great deeds from you. And she may kind of fly off the handle unprovoked because that's the nature of the volcano. You never know when it's going to erupt. The idea that she's kind of like a jealous lover, it kind of strays into, you know, oh yeah, he serves this goddess and she like flies off the handle about every little thing. Women, am I right? But I think it works because of the volcano metaphor. She might blow her stack. Alternatively, the clerics could simply act as mediators between the community and the powerful but unpredictable volcano goddess, trying to turn her anger away from mortals and like intercede on their behalf. But I do think that having Pele hanging around, like hoping that people will recognize her, that's pretty cool. And I do love the idea of maybe, you know, it's the same with these fire spirits, right? Maybe you can tell that they are who they are because they're so hot to the touch. Like running into her agents that are out there enforcing her rules would be pretty cool. And then occasionally running into her in mortal form and being able to get something from her if you impress her. I think that that's a pretty cool piece of kind of background. And one does get the impression, certainly, that Pele is more engaged than someone like Lano, right? Lano's whole deal is that he's not around anymore. He left and he will return one day. But Pele is very present in the landscape because she's identified with this thing, you know, with Kilauea. So that there's like, for real, you can see this thing is here and it is clearly extremely powerful and dangerous. So she has a presence that I think could be a really fun thing to include in games. All right, that is about all the time that we have for today. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've not made up my mind about which deity from Hawaiian mythology or which hero or legend from Hawaiian mythology we're going to do next time. My goal is to end the season by talking about Maui, but it might be that I have to pull him out of the back pocket ahead of time, just, you know, if I don't have something else prepared by the date. So we shall see how it goes. But either way, I hope that you will tune in next time for Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.